Well, welcome to Unity Center Lights, another service from our home to your home. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today, but we want to remind you that this service is also being on Zoom. So if you would like to join the congregation on Zoom, where you can both watch the message and meditation and also be part of the congregation, listen to music, you know, have some discussion.
Burning bowl ceremony.
Oh, yes, and the burning bowl ceremony. Thank you, for reminding me of that. We're going to be doing the burning bowl ceremony today where you will, write on a small piece of paper what it is you want to release for 2021, and we're going to have a ceremony to help you to do that. So
and
please
write your letters to God.
And write your letters to God. Yes. Good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. So all of that's happening in Zoom, and you can find that Zoom link in your e-newsletter or the weekly update that comes to you. So we look forward to seeing you there as well. So, and we'll get started with Pamela.
Okay, thanks. Good morning, and welcome to Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm Unity's mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach that there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we'll have our daily word reading for today, December the 27th. The key word is release, and the affirmation is, I take the best and leave the rest. Experiences of this past year have brought me gifts of insight, new perspectives, many chances to grow and stretch myself, and perhaps the opportunity to develop a skill that serves me in my work or brings great enjoyment to my leisure time. Some experiences have been painful or difficult. These, too, have offered their gifts. I accept all that has come my way. With gratitude, I bless it all. I find the gifts and release what no longer serves my growth. Assured that God is my dependable source, I release any pain of a financial setback. In the joy of restored health, I release any memory of illness. Grateful for all modes of connection, I release any pain of loneliness. I move forward feeling lighter, cleansed, and renewed for my journey forward. And the scripture is Isaiah 43:18. Do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. Amen. And now we'll have the message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, honey. So, I realize as we do these messages that sometimes, you know, the message you really resonate with and say, wow, that was really kind of where I'm at. And some messages you might say, no, I already got that, you know. I don't need to hear that message because I already got that. I can tell you for sure that all the messages that I teach, I don't got, right? And that's why I'm teaching them, so I can, you know, kind of get it in my head how these ideas should be expressed in the world. But today's message, the title is 2021, The Year to Change Lanes, okay? Now, the title of this lesson came from the movie Changing Lanes. I don't know how many people saw that. Of course, if we were in person, you could raise your hand and say yes or no, you didn't see it. But it was starring Samuel Jackson and Ben Affleck, and it's a story of how two people's lives collided literally on the expressway, setting into motion a series of vindictive reactions designed to ruin each other's finances, livelihood, families, emotions, and acts almost causing death. Okay, so the movie is an excellent example of how we allow ourselves to get swept up in negative emotions and the reasons, that's an important word, the reasons why we feel our reactions are justified. Okay, now if you get a chance to see the movie, you'll most likely feel like you would never go to the extremes that these two reached out to in their desire to hurt each other, you know. But therein lies the question for discussion. At what level do our reasons, and I'm going to keep using that word, do our reasons for reacting to feeling attacked by anyone become too extreme? You know, at what point how we respond becomes too extreme. You know, is physically attacking someone worse than screaming at them, that person? Is screaming at the person worse than shutting that person out of your life? Or what about the more frequently used cold, harsh look of disapproval or disappointment, especially when accompanied by the demeaning tone of voice that implies you stupid idiot without actually saying it, okay? You know, is that really okay? So, you know, we almost, we must also include the very private mental dynamic we go through where we attack people in our minds. Remember, Jesus said something about that. Is a person safe in your mind, okay? And that happens when, you know, that occurs when our thoughts, you know, kind of go off base and we have this whole dramatization of how we are reacting, even though we don't do it outwardly, we're doing it inwardly, you know? So negative thoughts about another, you know, about another one, you know, is that really harmful as well, okay? So what we'll explore in this lesson is the question, is any form of attack acceptable? Now, our quest today is to determine where is that fine line that separates acts of fear from acts of love. And so in the movie, a profound observation was made by the character who played Samuel Jackson's estranged wife. Okay, so she came to visit him in jail. And the Samuel Jackson character, which was Philip Gibson, began explaining how this guy was trying to ruin his life and how he was just a victim of all these brutal, senseless attacks. His wife looked at him very compassionately and assured him that she believed him. But she said to him that this level of chaos and confusion always seems to find him. And then she said the main reason she was leaving him is because he was always engaged in some chaotic situation of which he was always the innocent victim. And his chaos, she said, was always spilling over into the lives of his family. And then she posed a question that we want to study. She asked him, why is it that the things that always seem to happen to you do not ever happen to me? Now, most folks would get into a great, you know, argument of self-justification over that question without ever getting to the truth behind what it is actually asking, right? You know, we would say, well, it happened because, and we can justify why certain reactions are the way they're supposed to be. But a true student, which is what we're supposed to be, who has chosen to live the mystical life by investigating events and occurrences from a metaphysical perspective, would instantly realize that she was asking him a cosmic question about the underlying basis of his life, okay? So a cosmic question is a question that is so pervasive and all-inclusive that it has an effect not just on you, but also on everyone your life touches, okay? And that's what she was saying to him. You know, all these things you do this in your mind about why you feel you're always a victim, always in chaos, it's not just affecting you, but it's pouring over into, you know, into your family. So if we take the question asked by this movie character, the estranged wife, and turn it to fit our personality, fit us personally, it could ask, why is it that the things that always seem to happen to me never seem to happen to anyone else? That's a question a lot of people ask. So this question is just an example of what we can ask ourselves when we are seeking to understand what is it about the nature of our consciousness that is causing our life to unfold as it is. Okay? Now, the cosmic nature of such a question is that it is seeking to expose the compounding effect, the negative energy that one individual's consciousness has on his or her life, okay, and how that affects, again, the lives of everyone else. Now, I use the idea of compounding effect, because usually when something happens to us, we respond or react to it in a way that creates a consciousness that almost causes it to keep compounding. We keep adding more and more almost of the same kind of experience. Looks different, but a lot of times the same kind of experience. So an interesting synonym for the word compounding is yoke, which means to bind or unite. So each person's consciousness acts as a yoke that binds or unites him or her to others of like consciousness and eventually has a global effect, possibly like what we're experiencing now. You get what I'm saying? Possibly like what we're experiencing now, meaning what is happening in the world, in our country and in the world. Did that just all of a sudden pop up from nowhere? Okay? Or is it the compounding effect of the negative reactions of each human being on the planet that eventually brought us to where we are today? Those are the kinds of cosmic questions that a true student asks, as opposed to just getting caught up in what materially is manifesting. Okay? So this is something that the person living the unconscious life probably does not even think about. The unconscious person still believes that what she does in her personal life stops right there. Okay? And that's what a lot of us think. Well, it's just me. I'm not hurting anybody. But, you know, we have to understand that how we are connected to the universe. So the unconscious person does not understand that the compounding effect of his thought energy can potentially, what it can potentially have on the whole planet. So we have to ask ourselves, what we're experiencing in this country and what we're experiencing on this planet, what did I add to that? Did I add love or did I add some sort of fear? All right, and that's what we're going to look at in detail. So this movie depicts a series of extreme vengeful acts that most of us would never even think about executing. Some might, or we would never, let's put it this way, we would never actually execute them, but we might think about them, all right? But would probably, you know, proclaim, I would never do that. I would never do to anybody what these two were doing to each other. That's what we would claim. But that statement does not exonerate us. You know, just because we could look at the movie, see what they were doing and go, I would never do that. Or even watching the news or anything, that I would never do that. That statement does not really exonerate us. Rather, it poses another question. How do you react when you believe that you have been offended or hurt, you know, by somebody? Okay. How do you feel you must defend yourself when that happens? Because at some level, most of us do something. We retaliate in some way. And what we're investigating is our various methods of retaliation, no matter how subtle, how justifiable, how socially acceptable they may be. Okay? So this takes us back to the question, which is, where is the fine line that divides acts of fear from acts of love? Okay? Acts in which we are acts in which we're not loving to our neighbors, you know, love thyself as our neighbor. What acts cause us not, you know, show love towards our neighbor? Neighbor being anybody that we, you know, we're interacting with. So the concept we're going to investigate and try to understand today is this. Fear is driven by reason. That's why I kept saying to you that word reason is very important to today's lesson. Fear is driven by reason. Love is not. Fear is driven by reason. Love is not. Okay, so now I read in several sources that a spiritual life is a paradox. A paradox is a seemingly contradictory statement that may nonetheless be true. So the statement, fear is driven by reason, love is not, could be perceived as a paradox because if you think about it, we firmly believe that love is also based on reasons. Simply, we love because, or I might say, I love because, okay, and you fill in the blank. Well, I love because, and we have, you know, poems, how do I love you? Let me give you the reasons. We say, tell the ways, but, you know, let me give you the reasons, okay? So even though it appears to be that love is also based on reasons, from a metaphysical standpoint, love is not based on reasons, all right? However, as true students, it is our work to come into the awareness that love doesn't require a reason, okay? Through spiritual evolution, we learn that no reason is needed because love is unconditional. Like God, love just is. And it is our natural spiritual state of being. Let me say that again. Love is our natural spiritual way of state of being, okay? So fear is not our natural state of being. It seems like it is, okay? Again, from an ego standpoint, from a personality standpoint, it seems like it is. From the spiritual essence of our being, okay, love is the natural state of our being. So in our natural state, we live by grace and not by reason, okay? We live by grace and not by reason. We live by faith and not by reason. We live by love and not by reason, Okay? Now, this is another one of those cosmic paradoxes, but within this paradox lies the true and only healing that we seek. So the idea that love has no reason, faith has no reason, this is once we can get to that truth, that will give us the healing that we seek. And actually, it gives us a healing beyond which we even know is possible. Right? Now, for example, you're in a relationship that has some challenges. Anybody involved in something like that? This is where I'd be looking for you to raise your hand. Okay? Anybody involved in a relationship that has some challenges? Okay. So there is this need to get the other person. You know, when you have a challenge in your relationship, there's a variety of things you're trying to do. There's a need to get the other person to see how he or she is not treating you right, or how he is wrong and you are right, how she needs to change and you do not, okay? So all of these things and many more come up. And we're good at finding people who will agree with our reasons for feeling the way we feel about the person or situation. You know, so and that's what we'll do. You know, we'll get upset. We can't work it out with this person, so we have somebody else we go to, and they'll go, oh, yeah, especially if they have experienced the same thing, okay? Oh, yeah, you get every right to feel the way you do, right? However, let's acknowledge there are extreme situations out there. Now, I just want to be clear that what we're talking about. There are extreme situations out there that require intervention, okay? We're not discounting those situations. We're talking mostly about the interactions we have with each other, but not these extreme situations, if you know what I'm talking about, where intervention is definitely necessary. So however, when we are able to let go of our reasons, it is the beginning of returning to our natural spiritual state. Now, this again is one of those, you know, spiritual challenges. How do I get rid of my reasons for reacting to the world the way that I do? But once we begin to do that, once we can begin to let go of the reasons that stir us up inside, you know, that want to have some kind of response, this is the beginning to returning to our natural spiritual state. And when we're in our natural spiritual state, we stop the negative energy we may be contributing to the chaos in our relationships, and also what we've been talking about, the chaos that's going on in the world. So our problem is that because we have been living our lives unconsciously, we did not pay attention to the fact that we were digging ourselves deeper and deeper into a life of reason-based fear, okay? So reason-based fear is that I am fearful because, right? And we have justifiable reasons. I'm not negating the justification for our reasons, but I want us to understand that that might very well be how we are showing up in the world from this reason-based fear. And just think about the reasons why we do much of what we do in our lives, like it or not. We might find, if we really think about it, a lot of things that we're doing because there is some fear, either conscious or unconscious, that is causing us or motivating us to do what we do. And again, as you think about this process of evaluating your life, keep in mind the subtle nature of fear and the paradox of the spiritual life compared to the ego life. Okay? The paradox will make it extremely difficult to untangle yourself from the web of reasons you have spun, because from an ego viewpoint, your reasons will appear to be completely justifiable. So what I'm saying is we've spun ourselves into this web of fear, all right? And again, it was subtle, and now we're just in it, and we don't realize we're in it. So that's the idea of awakening. The awakening is all of a sudden to realize, you know, Father, into thy, I commit my spirit, soul, mind, and body, reveal in me that which needs to be revealed. That's that tangled web of fear that we're talking about, right? And it's difficult to grasp the fact that the motivation behind most of what we do is based on a set of what we believe to be justifiable, fear-based reasons, okay? Like the character in the movie. We each have our own individual brand of chaos in our lives, okay? Whatever that might be. And I'm not, you know, referring so much to the conditions or the circumstances or the people in your life that maybe challenge you, The real challenge is not that. The real challenge for us lies in our reasoning, which creates a state of consciousness that justifies the reactions we have to what is occurring in our lives. Okay, so yes, this stuff is going on here. This stuff is going on here, and you know we'll get in talk about you know why we have the reactions we do to it, but it's not actually the stuff itself. Okay, it's this web of fear we've created in our consciousness that we now are applying to all these things in our lives. It's our justified reason reaction to what is occurring in our lives that creates our own individual brand of chaos. And fear promotes you to say, I have a reason to be afraid. See, fear promotes you to say, I have a reason to be afraid. But love does not. Okay? So anytime we, and all of this, I'm not negating the fact that all these things that we may fear are justifiable. I'm just saying that it's fear that's causing that to happen. It's fear that's giving us the reason for it to happen. But love gives us no reason to be fearful. Love does not. Okay? Love strives to eliminate your reason for being afraid so that you no longer have anything to fear. Let me say that again. Love strives to eliminate your reasons to be afraid so that you no longer have anything to fear. And without anything to fear, you find yourself deeply and unconditionally in love with life. And when you are in love with life, you're in tune with the infinite wisdom of the universe. And the infinite wisdom of the universe will guide you easily and lovingly through every situation. So fear comes from the fact that I don't know what to do if this happens. Okay, but if you're operating from love, pure love, and you're in love with life, then what happens, you're in tune with the infinite wisdom of the universe, and that infinite wisdom of the universe will guide you easily and lovingly through every situation. God is in charge of my life and affairs. God's in charge of my body, mind, life, and affairs. If you truly know that, then you always can operate from love, and fear is unnecessary. Okay? So the book, The Zen of the Teachings of Jesus, the author explains that one of the greatest problems we have experienced with religion is that it is too stiff, too rigid, too unforgiving, okay? Especially, you know, when we came up, many of us came up in the fundamental Christianity. That's basically what it was, very stiff, rigid, and too unforgiving. It is always commanding us to do something, justifying its commandments with reasons based on fear, okay? Now, as we said earlier, fear is driven by reason. It's driven by commandment. Love is not. And what is, you know, commandment, what is commandment is not real love. Anytime you're being commanded to do something, that's not real love. Only fear can be commanded. And said another way, you cannot command somebody to love because love cannot be commanded. As Jesus expressed in the teachings, it is only through grace that we can be saved from the reasons we created concerning love. Okay? Now, as we continue our spiritual journey, we begin to become aware that we have become so entangled in our web of reasons that we are finding it difficult to free ourselves. Now, think about that. Okay? Yes, this all sounds good, Butch, about, you know, the fact that we're tangled up in this web of reasons. But how do I let go of all of that and just operate from love, okay? And Jesus knew that we can only be saved by grace. And this is what he said. The only way you can be free of that is you only can be saved by grace. Not by any effort of our own. We can only be saved by grace. That's the reason for living a life of prayer and meditation. And what that looks like is all through the day, I can personally confess to this, small prayers that I say all the time, okay? There are rituals I do before I get out of bed, rituals during the day. There's a constant process of working with this idea. That's the living the life of prayer, okay? So Jesus said we can only be saved by grace, not by any effort of our own, not by any reasons of our own, not by any commandments of our own, okay? So as it's recorded in Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. Grace is the gift of God, not the result of your works or your reasons. So do not boast about what you have done, for we are what God has made us, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Okay? So it's explained in a revealing word that grace is the real saving, redeeming, transforming power that came through the work that Jesus did in establishing for the human race a new and higher consciousness. So what did Jesus do? It's not that because Jesus did it, we don't have to do it. As Jesus came, and we call him our way shower. So he came to show us the way to a higher consciousness that operates above how the ego typically views the world. Okay? And it's not about a matter of getting rid of the ego. It's about putting the ego in its place. The ego right now is our master. But in actuality, we want Christ to be the Lord of our being and the ego to be the servant of that idea. Okay? So from a human perspective, we want to move to this higher consciousness, a consciousness without ego justifying reasons. So what we have been discussing so far from the movie Changing Lanes is how our reasons keep us entangled in fear. And another powerful point in the story was when the character Philip, played by Samuel Jackson, was bailed out of jail by his AA sponsor. Okay? Now, there was a point earlier before that in the movie where Philip, who was a recovering alcoholic, feeling overwhelmed, okay, by a series of events that happened during that one day in his life. That's when they were really going back and forth at each other. Him and the actor Ben Affleck were really going back and forth at each other. So he went to a neighboring bar and he ordered a shot of whiskey. And after sitting and staring at the glass for a long time, he went to the phone and he called his AA sponsor and finally left the bar without taking the drink. Okay. However, he continued the game of revenge that he was engaged in with the Ben Affleck character, causing him to end up in jail. So when his sponsor came to bail him out, he scolded him for the behavior which landed him in jail, to which Philip replied, "Why are you angry with me? At least I didn't take the drink." And here's a metaphysical point. His sponsor responded by saying, "You don't get it. Alcohol is not your drug of choice. Your drug of choice is chaos." Now, this statement really shook me to the depth of my being. I don't know how it affected you, but it takes us back to what we said earlier, that our fears have so subtly wrapped us up in a web of reasons that justify our actions that most of us probably could not identify our true drug of choice. In other words, what is it that you are addicted to that is causing you to live your life based on justifiable reasons rather than living your life in love? So what is your drug of choice? Is it the drug of power, the need to be right, or to control the life of others? Is it the drug drama, you know, and the attention it brings? Is your drug the plum disease, you know, poor little old me? What is it for you? Now, until we can each identify our drug of choice, we will remain entangled in a web of reasons that are designed to support our addiction, which will continue to manifest our particular brand of chaos, whatever that looks like for you. And at the end of the movie, the two characters came to the realization, this is really powerful, they came to the realization that all that they were doing to try to hurt each other actually created opportunities for them to learn valuable lessons. That, you know, these movies really do a good job of, you know, putting a little metaphysics into that, lessons into them. But this caused them to change lanes, meaning they changed their feelings, their emotions, and their reasons. So at the end of this chaotic day, these two strangers who met purely by what seemed to be an accident, who engaged in fierce battle to hurt each other, sat across the table from each other, apologizing and recapping what they learned from the experience. In effect, they changed lanes in a way that would change their lives forever. Okay, so the purpose of this lesson is for us to learn how to choose to change lanes gently before some life-threatening event does it for us. We can choose to change lanes. We can choose to allow ourselves to be untangled from the web of reasons we have spun based on what outcomes we're emotionally addicted to, okay? So when you're able to let go of the reasons you use to justify any and all unloving actions in your life, you will then be able to submit to the grace of God, which allows you to perceive the truth about every event and every person in your life. And without reasons based on fear, you are free to live your life in love. And I want to end with this quote that I got off the internet. This is for all of us to use in this new year to proclaim that we're willing to change lanes to a higher understanding of love. And this is how the quote goes. It says, "I love you," meaning I'm not just here for the pretty parts, the harmonious parts, the loving parts of our relationship. I am here for you, no matter what. And so it is. Amen. And now we will have meditation with Pamela.
Thanks for that. It was great. Let's all begin to quiet our minds and our breathing and our bodies and just find that simple, sweet space and place where we can take a deep cleansing breath and exhale fully. And prepare our minds and our hearts now as we focus on letting go of the old and welcoming the new. Allowing yourself the pleasure of meditation is a gift to yourself. Take this time to center yourself in the presence of divine life within. As you turn within by letting go, let go of any distracting thoughts in your mind. Let go of tension in your body. And let go of anything that is trying to disturb your peace. As you let go, you begin to experience your natural state of peace and joy in the present moment. You feel a release of any care or concern pressing in on you. Let this gift of freedom fill your mind and your body. Every cell and every atom within are surrounded and enfolded by peace. Letting go is a gift to yourself. Letting go allows the good that is always present to be experienced. You allow yourself to feel the goodness of God within. Your good now unfolds into all areas of your life. Your good is established in your body, your mind, and your affairs. As within, so without. Nothing can keep your good from you. And now let yourself feel the freedom of letting go from your mind and heart all that is not serving you mentally and physically, all that does not contribute to a happy, loving, prospering, and peaceful life. As we now enter into that secret place of the Most High, take in with you what is on your heart for 2021. How will you focus this coming year on all that is lovely, kind, and true? And now, as we begin to bring this time of meditation to a close, you continue to let go and allow your natural state of good to unfold in every way in your life, moment by moment. We say thank you, Father, in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you. Another wonderful. All right. This is a time we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal life to flow into our spiritual home. As always, we take this time to thank all of you for sending your wonderful gifts to keep Unity Center of Life going during these unusual times. It's interesting. You almost can't call it not normal anymore.
It's a new normal.
New normal. It's going to be going on for a while yet until all this vaccines and all that happens. But, you know, we're prepared to continue to serve this way, and we are so thankful for you continuing to support us by your presence as well as your donations. So with that in mind, let us do our, our offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. All right. You're going to do light notes?
Yes, light notes. So coming up on January the 3rd, Sunday, January the 3rd, we invite you to join us for a special white stone ritual with our guest speaker, the Reverend Michelle Senegal. Now, for this service, you will need a white stone and a marker. Now, you may use your white stone from last year if you still have it. All you need to do is turn it over and write your new name on it for 2021. To give you a little better understanding of this ritual, it is important to know that the white stone gives us the opportunity to choose a new spiritual name for ourselves, a name that resonates with qualities we wish to develop, a way to mark a new beginning in life, or the optimistic start to a new year. We also have two different upcoming prosperity classes coming up in 2021, and you should be checking your e-newsletter and updates for the details about that. I have a favorite poem that I like to read every year at the end of the year. I'm looking forward to the new year of 2021. It's by Russell Kemp, Unity author. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful you. This is the year that your dreams come true. This is the year that your ships come in. This is the year you find Christ within. This is the year you are glad to live. This is the year you have much to give. This is the year when you know the truth. This is the year when you find new youth. This is the year that brings happiness. This is the year that you will live to bless. Wonderful, wonderful, fortunate you. This is the year that your dreams come true.
Oh, that's a great point. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, so we will now bless the path that we walk this week.
Yes, and we're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto.
All right.
Together. I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful. Amen.
Yeah. Okay, so all that's left is for us to our prayer for protection. And again, we will hopefully see you in Zoom for the burning bowl ceremony that's right after this. So let's do our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right.
See you in Zoom.
Yep, we've seen you in Zoom. It's been a pleasure to bring you this service. And if we don't see you in Zoom, have a wonderful, happy New Year.
Year.
Right, happy New Year. All right,
bye-bye.